Shalom, shalom. Ani Martin Fletcher mi Tel Aviv, ani mistovev im Rick Steves. That was Hebrew for I'm Martin Fletcher in Tel Aviv and I'm traveling with Rick Steves. Koim li Martin Fletcher mi Tel Aviv, ani mistovev im Rick Steves.
We're making plans to travel to the West Bank in Israel with a little help from Pamela Olson right now on Travel with Rick Steves. She's the author of Fast Times in Palestine, which describes how she ended up living for 2 years in Ramallah. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Pamela, Jerusalem has been a sacred city for Jews for 3,000 years, for Christians for 2,000 years, and about 1,400 years for Muslims. A lot of strife arises from the conflicting desires of Israeli Jews and Muslim Palestinians to name it their capital.
Well, for Jews, obviously, it's, you know, they believe the Temple Mount is where the original temples were built. For Christians, they believe that Jesus Christ visited Jerusalem and did many of his ministries and also his crucifixion in the city. For Muslims, they originally actually prayed toward Jerusalem because it's the holy city from, they call Christians and Jews the people of the book, and they essentially believe that they're the next in line of those same prophets. So Jerusalem is very holy to them as well. And of course, the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque are some of the most holy sites for Islam in the world.
And these holy sites are almost literally on top of each other. So it's
a
complicated situation. I know that there's this depopulation of Palestinians in former Palestinian East Jerusalem. Does it still have a Palestinian vibe, or is that no longer the case?
Oh, absolutely. The overwhelming vibe is Palestinian. And you just have pockets of Israelis. And then, of course, you have settlements, which are like little gated communities that are closed off from, from the Palestinian areas around them.
Within East Jerusalem. So you've got the settlement issue within Jerusalem as well as within the West Bank. Same kind of thing going on.
Correct.
All right. But you do have still a sense when you do go to Jerusalem, even if you're not planning on going into the West Bank, a visitor could get that the Palestinian dimension, the Muslim dimension of the city by going into East Jerusalem. Is that safe and comfortable to go to?
It's safe and comfortable, relatively speaking. Ironically enough, I feel a lot more safe and comfortable in the West Bank because the tensions aren't so in your face.
Right.
It's still safe, of course, to go to East Jerusalem. I mean, there's isolated crimes and problems, but it's not any worse, I would say, than New York City, especially for a foreigner. If you're a Palestinian, it's different, but for a foreigner, it's not. Nobody's targeting you.
If you're just walking on the back streets of East Jerusalem, I get the sense you're going to find just fascination around every corner. Cobbles, stories, mosques, souks, little markets. Take us on a little walk through East Jerusalem.
Gosh, where do you start? I guess where I started with my parents was I took them to the Jerusalem Hotel, which is not far from the Jerusalem Old City. And we just had an evening of, mezze, which are the little plates of salads and chicken and sheep's brains and whatever else, hummus and tabbouleh. And there was an oud player, the lute, playing the lute, and a drummer. And they were playing while we were singing and while we were eating. And people were smoking argile, which is the hookah. And a woman just spontaneously got up out of her seat and started dancing. And the whole place was clapping, and it was just like, my parents were like, man, I can see why you love this place.
I love it. Yeah, that reminds me of Cairo or Istanbul almost. It's got that energy.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So it's a good idea to roam around the back streets of East Jerusalem. Now, a lot of tourists, they're going to make a little side trip to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, while everybody thinks of it as a Christian place, is actually a Palestinian and a Muslim city. And it's in the West Bank, but tour buses will just sort of make a beeline to Bethlehem. People see the church on Manger Square, the church in the Nativity, have a lunch, buy a souvenir, get back on their bus and go straight back into Israel. Is that your take on tourism in Bethlehem?
That's the general take, yeah. It is a majority Muslim place now because of the refugees from 1948 that have come in. But it still maintains a very Christian presence and a very Christian vibe. And of course, a good portion of the population is Christian. And it's also, people drink, people dance. It's like...
So it's a Christian enclave in the middle of a Muslim West Bank.
Yeah, I guess you can say that.
Now, as a Christian tourist, you'd go there and you'd want to see the Church of the Nativity, and you can actually touch the spot where baby Jesus was supposed to be born. Is that the ritual for a Christian visitor?
That's one of the rituals, yeah. And then there's the Shepherd's Fields, which have some beautiful little churches. and the milk grotto, where the Virgin Mary supposedly spilled some milk. And, you know, just when you just meet the people, and you just go into shops and you'll start talking to people and they'll tell you their life story and they'll say, hey, do you need a cab? And then they'll, you know, and then they'll invite you to dinner. And then it's just like, it's very charming. If you just come in with a bus and then take off immediately, you're really missing a lot.
You know, I was just thinking that. I mean, probably 90% of the Western visitors to Bethlehem come in with the bus, do their little sightseeing, do their shopping, have a coffee, and then get back on the bus and go away. Never even talk to any of the people there, and there's a real community there. I'm speaking with Pamela Olson. She writes Fast Times in Palestine after living and working in the West Bank for 2 years. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Debbie's on the phone from Portland, Oregon. Debbie, thanks for your call.
Hello.
Hey, Debbie.
Yeah, I was just going to comment. I had gone to Palestine in 2007 and in 2009, and there's so many things I can mention, but the one thing I thought was very interesting was the last keffiyeh factory in Hebron. The keffiyehs mostly are made in China now, so there's one factory that used to work 24/7, 7 days a week and three shifts, and now they only work maybe 40 hours a week. But if you do go, the keffiyehs there are beautiful. There's the traditional black and white, like so many of us know. They also have them in hundreds of different colors and combinations, and they're really pretty.
So this would be the headdress that Yasser Arafat made famous, the black and white headdress. Is that right, Pamela?
Yes, the keffiyehs, exactly.
So Debbie is saying that would be an interesting thing to do in Hebron. Hebron is just a short bus ride away. It's just a few miles south of Bethlehem, and it's famous for its handiwork, its pottery, and it's a very Muslim place. It's the burial site of Abraham. Debbie, when you were in Hebron, were you just on your own or with a tour guide?
No, I was with a group, and one time we went to the factory. It had already been arranged. I believe there's only one keffiyeh factory left, but it was a group that did alternative tours so you could see, specialized on fair trade, and so that's why we went to Hebron to the keffiyeh factory. We also went to up by Dineen, the Palestinian Fair Trade Association, and we went to co-ops where women did handiwork, and we emphasized the tour was on fair trade.
And was it a good experience for you?
Oh, yes, it was a wonderful experience. The people were so nice and so welcoming, and we had time on our own. Strangers would come up to you and just want to talk to you, and they want you to come in to have tea or coffee, to talk to you, to tell them, they want to tell you their story because they want you to go home and share the story.
Debbie, I'm telling my friends I'm planning a trip to the West Bank, Palestinian territories, and they kind of go, you're kidding, are you sure it's safe? Did you feel you were safe in the West Bank?
I never felt unsafe except for around checkpoints when there was a lot of the soldiers, the Israeli Defense Force, they have these machine guns. And that kind of made me, I'm not used to being around people with machine guns.
Right. All right. Thank you, Debbie, for reporting, and best wishes in your future travels. I'm going to check out that keffiyeh factory when I go to Hebron.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you should.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, bye.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Pamela Olson. Her book is Fast Times in Palestine. Pamela, if somebody's going to be going to the Holy Land and doing all the predictable stuff in Israel and they want to get 4 or 5 days in the West Bank, where would you make a home base, and what would you do with your time in 4 or 5 days? What cities would you visit? What activities would you do? If you just want to do not to do a political tour to learn about the problem so much, but just to humanize the area and understand the culture and its heritage better.
That's kind of what I did with my parents. I did kind of a 5-day tour in the Palestinian territories and 5 days in Israel. You know, we started in East Jerusalem and we went to Bethlehem and we tried to go to the Dead Sea, but actually we were blocked by an Israeli soldier who said our cab did not have the proper license plates. Mm-hmm. But I recommend that. And so we went to Jericho after that. And there's in Jericho, there's a thing called the Hisham Palace. It's like in the desert, and it's, you know, ruins of a fantastic palace, including some mosaics, like the famous one of the lion killing the gazelle under the pomegranate tree. And also there's a mosaic factory at that palace. And we visited the proprietor there, and he was so proud because Laura Bush had just visited and donated money. And he showed us, you know, photos on his cell phone of Laura Bush visiting.
Nice.
And then I definitely recommend Ramallah, the city where I lived, and I love it. It's probably actually a good entry point.
Would you make Ramallah or Bethlehem your home base where you would actually have a hotel?
Well, you probably want to do one of each. So, okay. you want to do Ramallah for two or 3 days, and then also you can visit preferably a village if you can. There's so many amazingly charming villages, especially in the spring. They're absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And in the fall, they're harvesting olives. Mm. And in both cases, it's so much fun.
And what about Nablus in the north?
Yeah, Nablus is definitely 100% worth a visit. And, you know, the villages around it, and Jenin, if you want to go, and Tubas is this place that nobody knows about. But it, you know, the way I describe it, in the spring, it looks like the label on a Hidden Valley ranch dressing. It's so green,
nice.
And so beautiful.
So spring is the best time to go, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is close together. I mean, you could settle down in Ramallah or at Bethlehem, and then if you had a driver or a taxi, you could get anywhere within an hour, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or is that true with all the checkpoints and stuff? Can you get around fluidly as a Westerner there?
As a Westerner, you don't need permits to go between the different regions of the West Bank, so it's fairly easy. And as long as there are not too many flying checkpoints, and from my understanding these days there are not very many flying checkpoints, and that just means
that's just
an
random
army
checkpoints,
jeep.
Just somebody stopping in the middle of nowhere. Now, as a Westerner, would you just show your passport and they go, oh, you're okay?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. And the Dead Sea, of course, is a huge tourist attraction, and you know, half of it is part of the West Bank and half of it is part of Israel, but does Israel control the coastline of the Dead Sea, or are there West Bank resorts on the Dead Sea?
Well, the entire Jordan River Valley and the entire, you know, part of the coastline of the Dead Sea, so the entire essentially eastern part of the West Bank, is pretty much controlled by Israel. It's called Area C, which means Israeli administrative and security control. Mm-hmm. So if you have a Palestinian license plate, it's difficult or impossible to go, but you can find ways to... If you can manage to get a car with Israeli plates, then you can go, you can visit.
So Israeli plates would be better if you can swing that somehow.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Pamela Olson about fast times in Palestine. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Ed is calling in from Manassas, Virginia. Ed, thanks for your call.
Oh, thanks, Rick.
Yeah.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi.
I had the privilege of living a couple years in Israel at the American Embassy in Tel Aviv. This goes back 6 or 7 years when things were a little more tense at the time. But I was told by one of my predecessors before I left that despite all the back and forth between the Palestinians and the Israelis, that he said if the Israelis didn't have the Palestinians, they wouldn't know what to do, and if the Palestinians didn't have the Israelis, they wouldn't know what to do, i.e. they're sort of codependent in a way, you know, it's someone else to kick around, but they wouldn't know what to do if they weren't there. Can you have any comment on that sort of outlook? An Israeli cab driver verified to me that, yes, that was true, at least as far as he was concerned.
Well, you know, I can't really speak for either side. It's easy to make jokes like that, and I'm sure, you know, both sides make a lot of dark jokes, but I think both sides definitely do not, you know, would definitely prefer peace if possible.
Well, I agree, and I'm sure it was a joke. But I know they do have a history going back, you know, thousands of years, and
I think
you
it might
get
be
around
a,
that.
It might be a comment on how much they have in common. I bet there's more in common than a lot of people realize.
I think that's true, Rick.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Well, a beautiful thing, and I've talked to Israelis about this, and they're happy if there's more tourism in the West Bank, and that'll help their economy. And I think it's really important that Americans can go to the West Bank and just humanize the place, because there's a beautiful culture there that's, as Pamela is reminding us, to go there, you'll be amazed at how comfortable you feel when you're out and about, just making friends with the people, whether they're in the West Bank or in Israel. Ed, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Pamela, if we're thinking about traveling and just sort of living in the West Bank as a temporary local person, or just trying to get in touch with the culture, talk just for a minute about heritage centers and handicrafts. What would we look at to see people, you know, their livelihoods and their culture?
Well, certainly the keffiyeh factory in Hebron is a good place to start. There's also glassworks in Hebron that are famous. In Nablus, they have the soap factories, the olive oil soap factories. Of course, everywhere you go, people are selling vegetables and falafel and shawarma. There's restaurants with fantastic homemade Palestinian food. My favorite restaurant in the West Bank is called Al Falaha, which means the farmer woman. And it's just north of Ramallah, kind of out in the countryside. And they have one dish exactly called msachan, which is a whole chicken roasted on top of chewy flatbread with caramelized onions and sumac and toasted almonds and pine nuts over the top of it.
That sounds good. What is that again?
Msachan.
Msachan. All right. So that's, yep, that's bread with chicken and what else?
Onions, like kind of sautéed into oblivion with sumac and olive oil, and then toasted pine nuts and almonds on top. And you don't even order. You just sit down and they bring it to you.
That sounds so good. The name of that place again?
El Falaha, the farmer woman.
And it's a little bit north of Ramallah?
Mm-hmm. You just have to get in a cab and say the word, and that's, and I'll take you there.
The farmer woman. And then a couple of other local specialties we should be sure to eat while we're there. What would you recommend we know about?
Well, my favorite is called maklube, which it literally means upside down because it's taken out of the oven and then flipped upside down. Mm-hmm. And it's rice that's kind of plumped with broth and spices and cinnamon. And inside is like fried potatoes and eggplants and onions and chicken. And you eat it with either yogurt or with salad, which in Palestine, salad means chopped up cucumbers and tomatoes with lemon and olive oil.
All right. It's nice to know there's some good cuisine to check out. And then I think probably a critical dimension of your visit, one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, is just meeting people. I'm hanging out in Ramallah. What's my best way to meet some local people?
Well, there's several coffee houses and restaurants where you're going to meet some fantastic people. My favorite is called Pronto. It's an Italian place. It overlooks Ramallah's City Hall Park, and you can get, you know, cheesecake and cappuccino and pizza and, you know, just sort of strike up a conversation. There's a veranda, which is really nice, and people are pretty open.
And if one of our listeners is thinking, I'd like to go to the West Bank and check it out, and they're going to go to Ramallah, are people going to be approaching them with a happy kind of curiosity, or is there going to be sort of a wariness about, like, what's this American doing here?
Well, it's funny. There's like an aura around people who clearly don't know what they're doing, and those are the people that get this big welcome of people being so kind. And I was almost sad when that kind of wore off for me and I just became another person walking down the street. Yeah, it's a very welcoming place. You're going to have a good time.
I get a huge welcome when I'm in a little town with no tourists in Turkey. I got the warmest welcome I can remember when I was in Iran, and I expect I'm going to get a similar welcome when I go to the West Bank.
Absolutely.
Pamela Olson, Fast Times in Palestine, great book. Thank you so much for sharing your experience in a place that is well worth visiting in person.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Next, TV host Phil Kogan joins us to tell us about his adventures and how a near-death experience at age 19 influenced his desire to travel and to define the adventures he still wants to have. Come along. It's Travel with Rick Steves.